Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to the conference call for Wilson Sons Limited first quarter of 2014 results. Today with us, we have Mr. Felipe Gutterri, CFO of the Brazilian subsidiary and investor relations, and Mr. Arnaldo Calbucci, COO of Towage Offshore Shipyards and Ship Agency. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After remarks by the company's management, there will be a question and answer session for industry analysts. At this time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach an operator. Today's live webcast, including both audio and slideshow, may be accessed online through the Wilson Sons investor relations website at www.wilsonsons.com.br/ir. Before proceeding, let me mention the forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Wilson Sons management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic environment, industry, and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to the CFO of the Brazilian subsidiary and investor relations, Mr. Felipe Gutterri, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Gutterri, you may now begin your comments, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like to say thank you for joining us in the conference call. I'm here with Arnaldo Calbucci to comment on Wilson Sons' first quarter figures. Please turn to slide number three of our presentation for a brief summary of our consolidated results. Wilson Sons' net revenues of $147.7 million in the quarter was in line with the comparative period, principally due to depreciation of the Brazilian real, considering that 62% of the company's revenues are Brazilian real denominated, being offset by the effects of towage benefiting from ships with heavier average deadweight and higher number of harbor maneuvers, growth in container handling, specifically full export volumes in Tecon Salvador and transshipment activities in Tecon Rio Grande, and better mix of services in the oil and gas terminal together with the new short-term client contracts. EBITDA reached $40.2 million, 12% higher than the comparative as a consequence of this operational performance. Additionally, net income was positively impacted by strong currency fluctuations in the quarter. CapEx of $27.5 million was a result of the expansion of the Braskem oil and gas terminal, as well as the construction of tugboats and the remaining civil works of Tecon Salvador. The company expects to invest about $113 million in 2014, not including offshore vessels business, which is not consolidated for IFRS, with most significant capital expenditure allocated in construction of five tugboats, Braskem oil and gas support terminal expansion, and maintenance and improvements in the container terminals. Moving now to slide four, I present quarter net revenues and EBITDA highlights by business. Container terminal revenues were negatively impacted by the devaluation of the Brazilian currency, but higher volumes and reduction in payroll tax rates contributed to the margin increase in the first quarter of 2014. Strong revenues increase in oil and gas support-based Braskem due to the better mix of services with solid environmental service growth and short-term client contracts also explain the performance of the quarter. In logistics, we had a revenue reduction as a result of the end of two dedicated operations in the last 12 months. And obviously, EBITDA margins were hindered by by the demobilization costs of one in-house operation together with the startup costs of the new Suape warehouse currently being converted for the provision of bonded services. Towage revenues and EBITDA increased as a consequence of higher harbor maneuvers and larger vessels attended. Shipyard revenues for the quarter were slightly below first quarter 2013 due to different stages of vessels in construction. The delays in the delivery of certain vessels, a result of the fire which occurred in the warehouse of Guarujá 2 in May 2013, contributed to the reduction of the margin for the period. The shipyard order book currently includes 4 OSVs for third-party clients, 2 PSVs for WSUT, and 11 tugboats for our towage business. Moreover, the shipyard has an additional 2 OSRVs under options for construction. This order book reinforces our strategy to take advantage of the demand driven by the growth of Brazilian oil and gas industry. Consistent growth in offshore support vessels reflects a large operating fleet due to the commencement of operations of 3 PSVs, Prion, Mandrião, and Alcatraz, in fourth quarter 2013. These vessels have higher daily rates, which contributed to the increased margin. The net income, however, was negatively impacted by exchange rate movements on deferred taxes. Now moving to slide number five, the April operating data released recently continues to show solid volume increases in our main operations, with container terminals handling 89.1 thousand TEUs in April, up 20% year-on-year, with increasing Argentinian transshipment volumes in Rio Grande. 4,600 harbor maneuvers in April were up 6%, with average deadweight attended increasing 12%. Higher days in operation in the offshore vessels joint venture segment, with 19 operational offshore supply vessels in the fleet versus 15 in April, also explains the performance of the period. At this point, we will be glad to answer any questions you might have. So feel free to direct your questions to any person participating in this conference call.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1. Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. Mr. Robin Byers from Cantor Fitzgerald would like to make a question.
Oh, hi, Felipe. Yeah, team. Hi, guys. Can I just do them? I'll just do them in order. So firstly, on $113 million for the core business, can you tell us
Robin, excuse me, I'm not hearing you well.
Can you hear me now?
More or less.
Yes, I think the line is not great. I was just asking about CapEx. $113 million for the core business. I mean, how much are you likely to spend within the offshore JV for the full year? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, so you asked about the capital expenditure for the offshore business, right?
Yeah, exactly. So 113 for the core, how much, including the JV?
Yeah, it should be between $7 and $10 million this year.
Oh, right, okay. Thank you. Just secondly, you know, the shipyard, what factors first quarter, do you assume for the next few quarters that
So you asked it about the shipyard.
Yes, that's right. You know, the margins have been were quite depressed in the first quarter. You know, should we expect a recovery?
Probably the second quarter will have the same path of margins in the shipyard. We should have a recovery in the second half of the year.
Or do you think that might unwind in the second year?
Yeah, there's a risk related to this Argentinian cargo, transshipment cargo that we are moving in Rio Grande. But we don't think that anything will happen before the Argentinian general elections that will happen in October 2015. And even then, the fact that the ship owners are increasingly bringing bigger ships means that the Uruguayan port depth, which is less than 10 meters, is not the proper infrastructure to service these big ships, which reinforces Rio Grande's possibility of retaining a significant part of this transshipment volume.
Great. So part of this may actually be maybe permanent.
Sorry, can you repeat that for me?
Yes.
Sorry, we did not get you. We had a very crazy echo. It's strange.
Yeah, those are my three questions, so that's fine. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. Mr. Sebastian Davison from Focus would like to make a question.
Hi, guys. Just had a quick question on the Brasco business. In the earnings release, it said that there was strong growth driven by the environmental services and short-term client contracts. I was wondering if you could expand a bit on that and the visibility going forward.
Yeah, we provide some waste management and some environmental services at Brasco. It's one of our focus there, strategic focus. So we will continue taking advantage of our good quality services to our clients on these kind of services. And the support for the short-term contracts are always a source of optimizing the utilization of our quay and utilization of the terminal. So obviously, when we have space, we will continue taking advantage of the short-term contracts that we have with the IOCs and other operators in the market. So you probably will continue seeing increase in environmental services and short-term contracts.
Okay, that's great. But what sort of visibility do you have on these short-term ones?
What do you mean by visibility of this on this
well,
short term?
How long would a short term contract be versus what would be
less than one year? Less than 1 year.
Okay, perfect. That's great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Mrs. Jacqueline Bruce from UN would like to make a question.
Yeah, hi guys, it's Jacqueline Brewers here from Utilico. Just a very quick question. We are, if you look at revenues from the container terminal business on a revenue per TEU basis for the first quarter 2014, we're obviously seeing a reduction because we're seeing an increase in volume, but obviously net revenues hasn't increased. I just want to understand how much of that is actually due to weakness in the real, or how much is that actually due to a reduction in pricing for each TEU container, because we've seen an increase in transshipment, which typically you earn less from.
Jacqueline, basically a combination of two main factors. One is obviously the real depreciation or the exchange rate impact, and the other is result of the mix. So we move more for shipment volume, which has a lower margin, and the mix of full to empty containers was lower or worse, if you wish, than what we had in the first quarter of 2013. So this explains why you have revenues or lower revenues per TEU in the first quarter 2014 compared to last year.
Yeah, no, I fully understand that. What I'm trying to really understand is how much of the revenue per TEU reduction is a result in pricing reduction from transshipment rather than the exchange rate.
The exchange rate is about 10%.
10%, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Arthur Bierfield from Biltech would like to make a question.
This is just a question about possibilities. Is there any pending legislation or talk of legislation in Brazil that would either affect you negatively or positively, or is the coast clear?
In terms of regulatory framework, you ask, right?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, not on our radar. So the change in the regulatory framework in port sector happened last year. So what we are doing now is that we are playing under this new regulatory framework already. We don't see any change or significant change in the regulatory framework of our other business units.
Well, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. Webcast question from Francisco Barriga from GBM. Which is the expected CapEx from 2015?
Yeah, our expected capital expenditure for 2015 is around $100 million.
Webcast question from Romas Viesolas from Now Securities. Thanks for the presentation. Two questions. First, Salvador, given recent increases in capacity with high levels of historic utilization, it's a little surprising to see loss of business to other terminals. Why has business not been more consistent, and what is guidance. 2, any update on decision by authorities for second terminal at Salvador? Many thanks.
In terms of volumes, we don't believe that analyzing 1 month explains the trend that we have in Salvador. And we always said that the ramp up in Salvador should take 3 years. So what we have is that year to date, Salvador is 5% better than last year. Obviously, April was not a good month, but we are working hard to have volumes growing in our container tunnels. And obviously in Salvador where we increased our capacity. We basically do not have a significant loss to other terminals in Salvador. But it was in April about cargo in general. Regarding guidance, basically what we have is that we don't give any guidance, but we believe that, and we are working hard to have volumes growing at our container terminals, as I mentioned, and obviously in Salvador as well. In terms of the second terminal in Salvador, we continue discussing with the authorities and with the government, saying that it's much more efficient for the state, for the country, to have bigger terminals, more efficient with proper infrastructure. It makes much more sense than having small container terminals with small quays to service big ships with not proper or inadequate infrastructure servicing all the stakeholders in international trade in Brazil and in this specific state where we operate, Bahia. We believe that this argument is basically aligned with the government, the federal government announced when they changed the regulatory framework in Brazil to increase efficiency and capacity in our ports. So we continue discussing with the authorities. We believe that we have a very good argument, and we believe that after some time, it's a long process, we can succeed.
Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. Thank you. Wilson Sons conference call is finished. Have a nice day.